The title of the message this morning is So Much Hate. So Much Hate. This is from John 15, verses 18 through 27. And there is so much hatred in the world today directed towards Christians, especially Bible-believing Christians and their beliefs. And really, anybody that stands up for anything that's right, there's hatred from the world directed towards them. And this is nothing new. Jesus warned us that it would be that way 2,000 years ago. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, so much hate. And the first thing we'll see in John 15, verses 18 through 21, is the hatred of the world for Christ and His followers. The hatred of the world for Christ and His followers. The Word of God says in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Now, we're going to have a grammar lesson this morning, and I know that that's not what you came to church for this morning. You didn't want a grammar lesson. And some of you haven't liked grammar since you were in school, and some of you didn't like it when you were in school. But this morning, we're going to have a brief grammar lesson in the Greek language. So, and you'll see how this ties into the lesson. If the world hates you. In the Greek language, this is called a first-class conditional, which means it's assumed that the statement is true for the sake of argument. So if the world hates you, it's assumed that that's true for the sake of argument. A first-class conditional. Essentially, Jesus is saying, since the world hates you. Since the world hates you. And he says, if the world hates you, or since it hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, the world here is the world system of lust and pride. And this system always hates and it stands in opposition to Christ and His followers. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that world system is in opposition to Christ and His followers. And so if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And so he's giving a counterfactual statement here. He's saying if you were of the world would love his own. This is a contrary to fact statement because they are not of the world. It would be true that if we were of the world would love us. Of course, if we were of the world, then we would support things that the world supports. The world supports abortion. The world supports transgender and homosexuality, and actually homosexuality is even I saw a forum, and I apologize for the scatteredness of this message. I'll have to do a lot of editing this morning, but my thoughts, I don't feel well, and so my thoughts are all over the place, and I have not taken medication, so that's not what's going on here. But I was watching a television show where a lesbian activist was being interviewed by a conservative group because she had been kicked off a board. She was on a board in, I think, Boston, Massachusetts, and she was a lesbian activist. And the board started to, they wanted her to sign on to this statement advocating that women, or that men were women, could be women. And she said, I became a lesbian because I'm afraid of men. And now they're wanting men to come into my locker room and bathroom. And she said, I'm not going to sign it. So she said, the board turned against me and said I was a bigot and kicked me off the board. And so this is, I mean, this is somebody years ago who were considered a liberal. But the world is into all this kind of stuff, and it only will get worse. It only will just progressively, it's getting more and more stupid to the point to where men and women's sports and all this kind of thing, and so they've, and now they're going after children in the schools, trying to advocate certain books that they're to read and all these kind of things, and they're grooming children to turn them into these things. And so if we were of the world would love us, because we'd support the things that the world supports. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. H.E. Robertson said, does the world hate us? If not, why not? Has the world become more Christian, or have Christians become more worldly? And so the world hates those who are not of the world, and Jesus has chosen us out of the world. Remember the word that I said unto you, verse 20, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. Again, these if statements are conditions of the first class, so they are assumed to be true. Since they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. Since they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now, the thing is, the world hasn't kept his sayings. But it's a condition of the first class, so it's said as if it's true. But the statement is probably irony here. The world and its own never keep Christ's sayings, but if they did, they would keep the apostles' doctrine also. But they don't. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also, but they're not going to. So it's a statement of irony. When he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, we'd have to go back several chapters to chapter 13, and Jesus and the disciples are sitting at the Lord's Supper table, and at the Passover table, and Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, and Jesus teaches a lesson on being a servant, and he said in John 13:16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And of course, he was saying that, he was directing that towards the disciples, but especially towards Peter, who objected to him washing his feet. Now, Peter was sitting in the seat of the servant at the Passover table. And Jesus says to Peter, the servant is not greater than his Lord, but I'm washing your feet. So you need to be a servant and wash others' feet. And so he's teaching Peter and the other disciples a lesson about servant leadership, because remember that they were trying to always be first. They were talking about who would sit on Jesus' right hand in the kingdom, and who would be the first, and all these kind of things. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. In other words, they're going to persecute you because you serve me. And they will do this because they do not know God. There are a lot of people today who profess to know God, who don't know Christ. They don't know him unless they know Jesus Christ as he's set forth in the Bible. But they profess to know God and what he wants. Well, God is a God of love, and God would want us to embrace all these kind of things. When I was in the Presbyterian Church, we would go to Montreat, North Carolina. And there was a very liberal school there. And, of course, the Presbyterian Church USA that our church was in was very liberal. There's different Presbyterian denominations. Some are conservative, some are not. But the school was extremely liberal, and they had I remember being in the bookstore there in Montreat, and they had a book written by some Presbyterian minister, female minister, who obviously was not saved. It was called The Sacrament of Abortion, and the whole book was on how abortion was a sacred, wonderful thing. Now, this person obviously not saved, but there are a lot of people that profess to know God and what His will is, and anytime that you find the destruction of society going on as it is today, then you're going to find ministers who will say, I'm a minister and I support all these things. We're having, there's Lutheran churches and other denominations, other churches that are having, what is the acronym? I can't even think this morning. It's the LGBTQ and whatever other letters they want to add after that. And they're having pride events. And drag queen story hours and all these things. I mean, I've seen the advertisements, but they're supported by churches. They're having these pride events. And there'll always be these people that profess to know God. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't know God unless they know Jesus Christ. And they don't know Jesus unless they know him as set forth in the scripture. Now, the second thing we see is the hatred of the world cannot be covered. There is the hatred of the world for Christ and his followers, and now the hatred of the world cannot be covered, verses 22 through 25. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Now, this in the Greek is a second class conditional, which is a contrary to fact statement. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. This is a counterfactual. If Jesus had not come and spoken to them, they would not have rejected him. Thus, they would have had no obvious outward sin. But because he came and spake to them, their sins are exposed. They have no cloak for their sin. They have no way to cover their sin because Jesus came and spoke to them. It's interesting that God knows what would happen. See, God knows everything. So he knows what would happen if he hadn't come and spoken to them. Jesus said he was preaching the woes on the cities that didn't repent, and he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For he said, if I had come and preached, if I had come and worked miracles and did this same thing in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and in the other cities, the ancient cities that were destroyed, in the judgment of God, he said, they would have repented. Of course, it wasn't the right time for Jesus to come back then. But they would have repented if he had come. He knew that. And so here he says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had no sin. They had had no sin. They wouldn't have rejected me if I hadn't come and spoken unto them. But now they have no cloak for their sin. They have no way to cover it anymore. It's exposed. What that means is the sin was there, but it just wasn't, it didn't come out, and it wouldn't have come out if Jesus hadn't come and spoken unto them. But because he came and spake to them, their sin are exposed. You know, a lot of times God will bring us into situations where we have to make a decision. And you wouldn't have made that decision if God hadn't brought you into that situation. But he brings you to a decision point where you have to make a decision. And some of us, you know, in the future may be brought to a point to where we have to stand for Christ, to where we have to stand for Christ in the face of persecution. We haven't really had persecution in the United States. We say we're persecuted, but we're not really persecuted. We get verbally persecuted, but I mean not as far as being arrested or all those things, but the day may come. I'm not convinced that it will come, but it may come where we will be arrested for what we say. There are already countries in Europe where they are arresting people if they preach against homosexuality. And if they say certain things, they're being arrested. That has not come in the United States, but it could come. It could come. And so God may put us in that situation, and we may find out whether we'll take a stand for Him or not. But if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. They couldn't cover it up anymore. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. That's a very direct statement, because these people, all the Jews, believed in God, they said. They all believed in Jehovah God and Yahweh. And Jesus said, if you hate me, you hate my Father also. So if you hate me, you hate God the Father, because Jesus and the Father are one. You can't love God without loving His Son. You can't believe in God without believing in His Son. A lot of people say they believe in God, but they deny the Son. Well, you can't believe in God without believing in the Son of God. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. This is another counterfactual statement. They had not had sin. In other words, they would not have committed the sin of Christ rejection and hatred of God if Jesus had not come and done works among them that no other man did. It's interesting that Jesus said of the cities of the plain that cities with the most vile sins that we can think of. I mean, Sodom, you know, the men of the city were knocking on the door trying to grab the angels to have sex with them because they thought they were young men. I mean, that's, you know, it's wicked. And but Jesus said, if I'd gone to those cities and done miracles there, they would have repented. But He's doing these miracles. He's doing these things in front of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jews. And they see Him do those things. And instead of repenting, they hate Him and they hate God, the Father. It's amazing. Religion is such a dangerous thing. Of course, the Bible defines true religion in the book of James to care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. But religious ceremonies without love for God, without the true worship of the Son of God, can turn you into a very hateful person. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Now we see that the reason that they hated Christ was a result of prophecy. It was prophesied that this would happen. They hated me without a cause. This is a reference to one of two Psalms. Written in their law does not refer only to the law of Moses, but to the whole Old Testament. So that's what it's talking about there. They hated me without a cause. And it could be Psalm 69:4, which says, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away, Psalm 69:4. And then Psalm 35:19 says, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. And so it was prophesied that this would happen. And it had to be fulfilled. Now, the third thing we see is that the hatred of the world cannot overcome the truth. So the hatred of the world cannot overcome the truth. In the end, Christ wins. Truth wins. Of course, he's already got the victory, but truth will win in the end. Verse 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, before we get into his testimony of the Son, the Comforter is another name for the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus would send. And, of course, we have the Holy Spirit now. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so, when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit. And before we get into how he testifies, I would like to tell you about a split in the church, a major church split. And, of course, today church splits happen over silly things, like debates amongst people or personality differences, or, you know, they painted the church a color I didn't like, I'm leaving the church and I'm taking 50 people with me, and all those kind of things. That's why they tend to happen today. But in centuries past, church splits happened due to doctrine. And this phrase, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, a debate over this was a major cause of the split between the Eastern and Western branches of the Catholic Church in 1054. This famous debate was over the filioque clause in the Nicene Creed, which the Nicene Creed talks about the Trinity. It talks about God. And the debate was over, does the Spirit proceed from the Father only or from the Father and the Son? The Western Church, and most Christians today agree with this, they said the Spirit was sent by both the Father and the Son. The Eastern Church said the Spirit proceeds from the Father only. And they split the church over it. Well, it is, but they split the church over. Now, Jesus said, I will send the Spirit to you from the Father. So it appears that both send the Spirit, both the Father and the Son. But at any rate, that's what that debate was over. But the Bible says that he will send him and he shall testify of me. The Spirit bears witness of the Son. That's his job. The Holy Spirit bears witness of the Son, and people get saved as a result of that ministry. Now, verse 27 says, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So we also bear witness. This is directed towards the disciples, obviously, but it's to us as well. Spirit-filled believers share the gospel of Christ with others. And when we work at sharing the gospel, we are working with the Holy Spirit. When I share the gospel with someone, it's not just me talking. The Holy Spirit is in the business of winning people to Christ, of converting people to the Son. And so the Holy Spirit works through believers. As we share the gospel, the Holy Spirit is also convicting. And a good example of this that I saw years ago and I think is fantastic. Let's see here. Richard, would you mind coming up here? let's pretend that we are witness. Richard, you be the Holy Spirit. So you just repeat everything I say, okay? I'll tell you when. Okay. But let's pretend that Steve and Cindy are wicked sinners and they need to get saved. So, all right, you can start. I want to share the gospel of Christ with you today.
I want to share the gospel of Christ with you today.
Jesus Christ loves you.
Jesus Christ loves you.
He died on the cross for your sins.
He died on the cross for your sins.
And He rose from the dead.
And He rose from the dead.
And He'll save you if you believe in Him.
And He'll save you if you believe in Him.
All right. Now, thank you, Richard. I appreciate it. Now, you see, when we witness, I don't know exactly how it works, but it's just an illustration of when we witness, the Holy Spirit is speaking through us. He's convicting. We don't hear Him audibly, but He's speaking to people's hearts. He's speaking to their minds, and He's drawing them to Christ. So when we share the gospel, it's not just us talking, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit of God working and drawing people to Christ. And we have that assurance when we take the gospel that we're in this work. Jesus says, "The Spirit which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me, and ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." So, in summary of this message, of the message today, we have the Comforter living in us as New Testament believers. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside of us. And the Holy Spirit wants to use us to spread the gospel of Christ. And when we do spread the gospel of Christ, it's not just us talking to people, but it's the Holy Spirit working through us, convicting and converting people to Christ. And so let's share the gospel this week, working with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You that despite the hatred of the world, that Your gospel is going forth and people are being converted to You. And I thank You that You've overcome the world and that we will overcome as well in Christ. And I do pray You'd help us to spread Your word and Your gospel during these turbulent times that we live in. We pray if anyone here is not saved or anyone listening to this online is not saved, that today will be the day that they will believe in You, Lord Jesus, as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior, and be born again by faith in You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand and sing a verse of amazing grace.